2 Chronicles 21, verses 12 to 15. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, rebukes Jehoram. Now, this is a remarkable title in the sense that Elijah is the prophet of God laboring in the northern kingdom. And here he is rebuking the king of Judah. But God uses his servant. And this is what we read. Verse 12. Jehoram received a letter from Elijah the prophet, which said, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says." Note the stamp. Note the authority. Note the grip. Note the stance that Elijah adopts. I'm not giving you some advice, Jehoram. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you what I've found out from the consultation with the fellow leaders here. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. Now, I know that this man is a prophet, therefore he is speaking directly from God. And I know that we today do not speak like this. We speak on the message, on the prophecy, on the doctrine of God. We declaim on it. But our purpose should be to take people back to the Word of God, to God himself speaking to us. Of course, Elijah as a prophet can do it more directly. I understand that. I'm not claiming that. But this is the kind of thing we need today. Not a direct word from God, but powerful words on the direct word from God, laid down in Scripture. Well, having set the tone, straight into it, Elijah pulls no punches. You have not walked. Now, let me stop there. You. How many preachers today talk about us and we? We have doing this. We're doing that. It's up to us. It's down to us. It's we. We. These biblical preachers, prophets, apostles, John the Baptist and so on, all of them, they're all you. You. Nathan, you are the man, and he spoke to David, you, and here is Elijah, you have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, or of Asa, king of Judah. No, 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 you are responsible. I've used the illustration before. It appeared in the Times Educational Supplement, many years ago. A towering headmaster towering over a boy, the master had a cane in his hand. You were allowed to do it in those days. And the master was saying, "Wilkinson," he said, "some blame your gene, some blame your background, some blame this, some blame that, but I blame you, you. You have not walked, you have not done," says Elijah. "But you have walked, the negative and the positive. You haven't walked in the ways of your father or of Asa, no, but you have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." Well, of course, he's gone there. He's united to them, and he's copied them, and you have led Judah and the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, just as the house of Ahab did. He's calling a spade here. He's not calling an agricultural implement or something. No, no, he's spelling it out in words that can't be misunderstood. It must be seen. "You have also murdered your own brothers, members of your father's house, men who were better than you." He's spelling it out, I say. You. Now, he's factual. He's far more than factual. He's got boldness, courage. He's pointed. He's personal in his preaching here. He's showing this grip and courage. Now, we need, brothers and sisters, we need this kind of preaching today. I say again, not in the sense of directly from God, but on the Word of God. But this lecturing, this soft soap, this sugary stuff, this generality stuff, the third person all the time, this mere dealing in facts or opinions. We want the word of the Lord expounded to us and applied to us in this authoritative, gripping, confrontational way. We've seen these prophets rising with these kings, the courage of the men, and here they are, here we have one again, Elijah. Now the consequences, verse 14. "So now, because you have sinned, the Lord is about to," and so on. Now we're in the days of the old covenant, so obedience brings prosperity. disobedience brings the opposite, defeat and sickness. Of course, we're in the days of the new covenant. But we look at the principle here. What's the principle here? The consequences of disobedience. You have not kept the covenant of God through Moses. You have not kept the law of God through Moses. You have done these evil things. You have broken the commandments. You have broken the covenant. You have sinned. So now the Lord is about to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and everything that is yours with a heavy blow. You yourself will be very ill with the lingering disease of the bowels until the disease causes your bowels to come out. What a solemn word! What a doctrine! What a consequence! So now, the Lord will do it! The Lord will do it! The Lord will do it! He began with the Lord, and he's finishing with the Lord. He's laying it down. Now, what about the new covenant? Well, I've tried to apply this already. We need preachers of this kind of ilk. Confrontational, powerful, clear preachers on the message of God, not delivering direct words, but preaching with power on those words of God, on the word of God. But what about duty and responsibility? Well, as I read my New Testament, I find in the New Covenant, Christ gives his law. The law of Christ is a scriptural phrase, not very common, I admit, but I believe it's written large in Matthew 5-7, John 13-16, and all the letters. Something that the believer is under no law at all. There is no commandment, there is no responsibility, no accountability under the new covenant. I don't read it that way in my Bible at all. They think it's all passive, mystic, and all the obedience is Christ. I don't see it. They put it all down to the work of the Spirit. I can't believe it. I see command after command. I see vocative case after vocative case. I see imperative after imperative. I see sinners commanded to repent and believe and obey and submit to Christ. And if they will not, condemnation comes. I see believers commanded, directed, called to obedience again and again throughout the New Testament. I believe the New Testament is descriptive of the believer, but it's also preceptive. It teaches me what I am, and it teaches me what I ought to be as a believer. It teaches us what we are in Christ and how we must live this out. It does not merely give facts. It does give facts. It gives duty and responsibility. And it shows the responsibility and the accountability and the consequence of disobedience. I know there are ways round all these passages. I don't want ways round them. I want to take the descriptions and believe and act upon them and live out the preceptive parts, the commanding parts. I believe I am under the law of Christ, and I believe it is a more penetrating law than the law of Moses. It's of the heart and not merely of the external. I don't see it's either command or description. I see it's both. Well, what lessons we have learned here. God give us such preachers as Elijah and these other prophets. We don't want sugar and soft soap anymore. We don't want generalities and lectures on doctrine. We want a word on the word of God, feeling that God is speaking to us through his word. We want to know it is for us. We want the buck stopping with us, with me. I want to be obedient to Christ in the gospel. And I hope, unbeliever, if you're listening, any unbeliever listening, you realize the Bible doesn't just tell you what a Christian is. It demands that you submit to Christ, repent and believe and trust him now. Well, these are serious lessons. May God bless these principles to us. Yes, we're in the days of the new covenant, but may we see how these words, this passage applies to us in whatever state we are, and may we live out this gospel to the glory of God. Let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. O God, may we reduce to practice that which we know, for Christ's sake. Amen.